John chapter number 16 is where we will begin this morning. Again, we're thankful to be in the Lord's house. Do pray God's blessing on our worship service today. John 16 is going to be my text. At least will be our starting point this morning. I'm sure that before we finish, we'll be in a few other places as well. At the beginning of the year, I told you that in the coming year, this year, we are going to be emphasizing different aspects of the Holy Spirit as we go throughout this year. I go into this not knowing how many messages there will be or even with what frequency we will do them. But that remains to be seen. I do plan on having a few what I would call Holy Spirit Sundays before the end of the year, where on that Lord's Day we're going to dedicate the entire day to some aspect, some ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now, so I call it Holy Spirit Sunday. This is my first of Holy Spirit Sundays. Now, I thought about something. When I do something like that, we have a lot of preachers that watch our live stream, some of them in real time because they're in different time zones. Some of them go back and watch it later on, and I always get texts from them, some preachers, and commenting something about the message. Most of the time it's good. Sometimes maybe not. I don't know. But and I'll just say this to those preachers that are watching. If you think I've flipped my lid, if you think I'm going Pentecostal or something like that, or maybe if some of you are sitting here this morning and you think that also, a Baptist talking about a Holy Spirit Sunday, let me just tell you, remind you of what the Apostle John said in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And by the way, I've got a message outline already on that. That's going to be one of the messages we will preach later on. But John said in Revelation chapter 1, you know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, I read a little bit. I'm not a total imbecile. Not total anyway, but I've read a lot of different preachers and different commentators, different theologians have had to say about what John meant by that statement. You know, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I just thought about this. Folks, I should be, and I need to be, in the Spirit every day. Not just on the Lord's day. But I should be, and I know I need be, in the Spirit every single day of my life. And you should be. You need to be in the Spirit every day of your life also, if you're a child of God. That just simply means, folks, that the Holy Spirit has charge of our lives. He has charge of what we do. He has charge of what we say. He has control of our life. That's what Paul meant when he said, listen, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That just simply means don't let wine control you. If you're intoxicated by something, whatever that substance is that you're intoxicated by is that which controls you at that time. Well, Paul says, don't be controlled by wine, but you be filled, you be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So every day I should be filled, I should be in the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? But listen, if there is just one day especially that I should be and that I need be filled with the Spirit, folks, it is on the Lord's day. Right? If there's one day that you should be filled, that you should be in, or you should be controlled by the Spirit, it is on the Lord's day. If that's not the case, then we are wasting our time. Because Jesus said, listen, they that worship Him must worship Him in what? In spirit and in truth. You see, those two things cannot be separated at all. So we must worship Him in spirit
and in truth. So I don't care what some hard-hearted, hard-headed Baptist preachers say. I, for one, think it's all right to have a Holy Spirit Sunday. As a matter of fact, every Sunday ought to be a Holy Spirit Sunday here at Faith Baptist Church. He should be in control of what we say and of everything that we do here at Faith Baptist Church. Anyway, periodically we will have throughout this year an emphasis on Holy Spirit Sunday, an emphasis on some aspect of the work and of the person of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is just the first. Now, I'm going to tell you, this morning is going to be set up for the most part. We'll finish up my subject tonight. I want to talk to you primarily this morning and tonight on who is the Holy Spirit. You know, that sounds like such a simple subject, but have you really thought about who the blessed Holy Spirit really is? Now, I've got so much stuff that this morning is going to be all set up, and I hope I don't bore you to death this morning, put you to sleep too quickly. Just hang with me, and we'll try to tie everything, if I can, together tonight. But I want to talk to you about who is the Holy Spirit. I echo what one writer said when he said this. He said, I can't think of anything more, intimidates me more, yet I can't think of anything more essential for God's church everywhere. I echo that. I just got to tell you, there's not many subjects that intimidate me more than trying to teach or trying to talk about the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now, I know that this is the kind of subject, when I get finished this morning, those of you sitting there who know more than I do, or who think you know more than I do, are going to come and say, well, you should have said this, you should have said that, you should have put this in, and you should have put that in. Just understand, folks, I cannot put everything in the first message, or we'll be here a long, long time. I will leave some things out, you see. But it's just the first message. But I want to talk to you about who is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I have a lot of things on the screen that I'm going to give to you. I've got my little cheat sheet here with my little bullet points. I don't normally do that, but I don't want to leave anything out. Just kind of, I start out each sentence sort of remind me what I'm supposed to say next. Well, the next thing I want to tell you about is that I read an article. And this subject reminds me, and it brought me back. It took me 2 days to find this article again. And it was based on a book called The Forgotten God. Or he says, Reversing Our Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have not read that book in the interest of full disclosure. I don't know who the author really is. I don't know anything about him, what he believes or what he does not believe. I just happen to like one thing he had to say about the Holy Spirit of God. Here's what he said. He said, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is tragically neglected and for all practical purposes, forgotten. Isn't that a terrible, terrible thing to say? I mean, can it really be that in our churches, let's just say Faith Baptist Church, that the Holy Spirit of God is neglected so much that for all practical purposes, we've all but forgotten Him. He went on to say, well, no evangelical would deny His existence. Hopefully none of you here are nutty enough to say there's no Holy Spirit. Well, no evangelical would deny His existence. There are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they have experienced His presence or action in their lives over the past year. And many of them do not believe they really can. I want to tell you what one of the tragic consequences of extreme independent fundamentalists of our day is that we have let the charismatics scare us so much that we neglect the Holy Spirit of God in our churches. And I got a newsflash for you. It's evident. We see the results of it in our churches. Most of you will acknowledge that He exists, but so many of us cannot really say confidently that we have found Him working in our lives, even in the past year, and we don't really think we can. It's something mystical to us. It's something way off. And we're seeing the results of that in our churches. Now, I don't remember if I put this on the screen or not, but there's another writer who says, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there are two extremes. Did I put that up there, Nathan? Okay, I did. I'm smarter than I thought. Here's the two extremes. Some seem obsessed with Him. Now, I can stand here and name you. I'm not calling names. But we know that to be true. Relating to Him strange mystical ways. Their experiences with the Spirit seem to coincide with emotionally ecstatic moments. That's all the Holy Spirit is to them. And I'm not going to waste your time or my time complaining about those kind of people. It is the second group that interests me. The other extreme, other Christians react to that perceived excess by neglecting His ministry altogether. They believe in the Holy Spirit, but they relate to Him the same way they relate to the pituitary gland. Now, you know what that is? In other words, they know it's there. They know it's important, you know. And it's necessary for growth and necessary for our health, but they have no interaction with it whatsoever. That's the Holy Spirit to us in our Baptist churches. We know He's there. It's kind of like an organ in our body. We know it's there. We know it's important. But we really don't know what it does and what it's for. And we have no interaction with it whatsoever. Now, let's be honest, folks. Many of our Baptist churches fall into that second category. Now, I'm not being critical. Well, yes, I am. I've earned a right to be critical of our Baptists. I've been a Baptist pastor now about 37 years. Our churches fall into that category. We have neglected Him so much, and we don't see Him working much in our churches, you know. But I got to tell you, folks, and I'm just going to speak to you from my heart. I have felt such a need. Especially since I came to be your pastor. And I see how the Lord has blessed us here at Faith Baptist Church. And I pray all the time, I do, Lord, I don't want to mess this thing up. I don't want to be the one to mess it up. And so I feel His need all the time for the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life, in my preaching, and in my ministry. I don't want to preach just for the sake of preaching. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to preach just for the sake of preaching. I don't want you to listen just for the sake of listening. That you've done your duty. You come to church, you did God a favor, you showed up, you listened to a 40-minute boring sermon, and you got that marked off. I don't want you listening. I don't want to preach for the sake of preaching. I don't want you to listen just for the sake of listening. Now, I'm trying not to be unkind, but I'm trying to be honest with you. I don't want us to just go through the motions in our services at Faith Baptist Church. The Word of God ought to have an effect in your life. I'm glad that we have many here, and I preach revivals a lot around the country at different churches, and very often I go there and preach my heart out all week long, and nobody ever responds to the preaching of the Word of God. And you know, you start checking yourself, Brother Willie, when you go do that, and you think, why in the world doesn't anybody, I'm glad I pastor a church where there's some that seem to respond. There's some that respond all the time, the Word of God gets a hold of them, but there's some of you who will sit there, and you almost dare God to make you get happy, you know. And you almost dare God to make you weep for some reason. You got a hard heart. and nothing seems to bother you or affect you. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, the preaching of the Word of God ought to have an effect on your life. So I don't know if I'm explaining myself or the way I should, but I don't want us just to go through the motions anymore. And so I decided I want to emphasize the Holy Spirit in the coming year, introduce our topic this morning, maybe introduce some of you for the first time to even the conscious thought of how important the Holy Spirit is in your life, because we neglected Him way, way, way too long in our churches. Now, let me give you a question to ponder. I asked Brother Robbie this question Thursday. And I hope he's thought about it, because I've thought a lot about it lately. Would you rather have Jesus right next to you or the Holy Spirit inside you, within you? I'm going to pause a second. I want you to ponder that. Which would be better, having Jesus right next to you or having the Holy Spirit within you? Now, a preacher asked that one time, and he asked a lot of his membership. He pastored a large church, and he did kind of, not a real one, but just kind of, it's not impersonal. What is it? Impromptu. Thank you. Impromptu survey of his membership, and he asked them this question. Would you have Jesus next to you or the Holy Spirit within you? Now, most all of them answered the way I would answer initially. I would say, man, wouldn't it have been glorious to be there to see the Lord Jesus Christ and hear Him preach and see His works? Wouldn't that have been a glorious, glorious thing? But think about this. Here's what He said. When Jesus was on earth, the works that He did was limited to that one location. But with Him in us, wherever we are, that's where His power is. So think about this. Folks, the Holy Spirit inside you is better than Jesus beside you. Wow. That just astounded me when I thought about that. The Holy Spirit inside you is better than Jesus beside you. Now, in John chapter 16, I have not even read my text, and I got it on screen. I'll have to go get my Bible. In John chapter 16, Jesus, he tells the disciples something there that I think shocked them. Because what he says is, you know what? It is better for you if I go away. Now, that's an astounding statement. And basically what he's teaching them, the reason it was better for them if He goes away, then the Holy Spirit was going to come. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit was already there. The Holy Spirit has always been there. There's never been a time when the Holy Spirit was not there. So what did he mean? He meant that the Holy Spirit was going to come in a very special and very powerful way, especially on the day of Pentecost. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit took up a very special office in relation to His ecclesia, His church that He established on this earth. And so what He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Now, what he starts out by saying, nevertheless. I'll talk more about this tonight. I'll set it up more tonight. But that word nevertheless reflects back on everything that had been said, really in part of the 13th, 14th, and 15th chapter. What was said? Jesus began to tell His disciples, I'm going to go away. You know, He began to tell them about His impending death, His crucifixion, His death, His burial, His resurrection. They responded like most of us would respond. Peter wanted to rebuke him. Peter said, no, 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 Lord, far be it from you. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And so how can we know the way? Philip, I like old Philip. He said, well, just show us the Father and that'd be enough. But what Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus always told the truth. He's not like me. Not like you either. The Bible says all men are liars. He always told the truth. So why did he say that? It's an attention getter. He's saying, fellas, you better pay attention. I'm going to tell you something that will rock your world. It will shake you up. It is expedient. The word expedient literally means it is to your advantage. It is profitable. It is good for you. Now, if I'd have been there, I'd have been thinking, now how on earth can it ever be to my advantage for him to go away from me? Or how can it ever be good for me? How can it be profitable to me? I mean, there's nothing better than to be in the presence of my Savior. How can it to be my good for him to go away? Well, he says what he said. If I go not away, then the Comforter, literally the Helper, will not come. But if I go, he uses the word go three times, emphasizing the fact that he was going to leave, he was going to go away, and the reason he's going to go away, so he could send the Comforter. The word send there simply means to thrust forth, you know, the Holy Spirit. It's to our advantage that he did that. So listen to me. As crazy as that sounds, the Holy Spirit inside you is better than Jesus beside you. That just flabbergasted me. I never really ever thought about that before. I came across a very provocative statement by A.W. Tozier. And this is really what got me thinking about devoting more time to the ministry of the Holy Spirit here at Faith Baptist Church. A.W. Tozier said, if the Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they would do would have stopped and everybody would know the difference. That just tore me up. Can it really be, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from our church, we would just pretty much continue on and never know the difference? Would the majority of us could not even tell the difference? I want you to think about this. Have you ever entertained the thought that there should be something more to your life, to the Christian life? You ever thought about that? And you read of all the supernatural events in the Bible, and you start wondering, why don't we see those things? Moses parting the Red Sea. Elijah calling down fire out of heaven. His servant having his eyes open. They was always there. He just couldn't see them. And when his eyes was open, he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. The people being filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And everybody heard them speak in their own language. That's what it was. That was the miracle. It wasn't this crazy gibberish that goes on today. An ordinary fisherman. Not an educated man. We got too many professional preachers today. And ordinary fishermen preach with such power and demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 souls were saved on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 saved later on. And we look at that and we say, Lord, why don't we see stuff like that? Now, I'm not talking about the fakery and fraud that we see going on in the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. Most of what they do does not line up with the Scripture at all. If you're going to do it according to Scripture. Tell you one thing. Now, I'm really going to get in trouble here. A woman was never allowed to speak in tongues in the early church. Read 1 Corinthians 14, ladies. A woman was never called to preach. I don't care what she said. I'll tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He will never call you to do something contrary to the Word of God. If you feel like you want to do something that can't show it in the Bible, you better not do it. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. But I'm just thinking out loud here, though. I'm not talking about all that stuff. Let me tell you something. We got something greater today than they had that day. We got the completed Word of God. It is on that foundation we stand. So I'm not talking about seeing the so-called miraculous. You know what the problem is with seeking the miraculous all the time? And you get that emotional charge, and you get that charge of adrenaline from seeing that stuff go on. It never lasts. It never lasts. It never did with Israel. It never did with the early church. Church Corinthians made a mess of it because they wanted to see the flash and the bang all the time. I want to tell you what reality is. Reality of the Christian life is sometimes you're up here and God is blessing. The other times you're down here. You feel lower than a snail's belly. That's just reality. So my hope is not in seeing the miraculous, so to speak. God does that stuff all the time. He still works miracles. My hope is in the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, folks, preaching the Word of God with such power and influence of the Holy Spirit that people are moved when the Word of God is preached. That's what we don't have happen. So I don't want to preach for the sake of preaching. I don't want you to listen for the sake of listening. I want you to have hearing ears to what the Word of God says. And we're missing that in our churches. Now, I think the late Adrian Rogers, and I know I don't have this on the screen, but the late Adrian Rogers had a pretty good handle on people who try to do things and don't understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that's what we're doing in our churches. We really are. He liked it unto somebody buying a new car and then pushing it everywhere they went. Because they didn't understand the engine. Didn't understand what the engine was for. You know what? That's exactly the way it is with us, with the Holy Spirit of God. People who try to live their life in the flesh, try to be a good Christian in the flesh, you know, and you don't understand what the Holy Spirit is for. You can't do it without it, folks, without Him. It's nothing new. I'm not being critical of you. It's nothing new. It's always been around. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 1, Paul says, O foolish Galatians. Now, I want you to listen and consider if we are not just like them today in our churches. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Now, catch this. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, obvious question is by the hearing of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Right? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, what's he talking about? Let me tell you something, folks. Everybody here that's really, really saved, you'll agree with this statement. You cannot help but. For those of us who are saved, know, we know, we could have never been saved without the working of the Holy Spirit of God. We know that we would not have come to Him, could not have come to Him, without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, man, worked the work of grace in our hearts. He quickened our hearts. He quickened our souls, quickened our conscience, convicted us of our sins, gave us the faith that we have. It's not your faith. It's been given to you by God. Brought us out of darkness into light. The only reason I'm a Christian is because God, by His grace, made me a Christian. You better get that right. It's not because I decided to follow Jesus. It's because God, by His grace, salvation is of the Lord. Now, everybody that's really saved, I think you've got to agree. I'm not saying anything wrong to you. But here's what happens. For every one of us, after we begin that relationship with the Lord, we forget about the Holy Spirit, and then we try to be a Christian by the power of the flesh, and it will not work. We're like that fellow buying a new car and trying to push it everywhere he goes because you don't understand the engine. I'm trying to introduce you to the first time the concept, folks, you need the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you what's happened in our Baptist churches and how we fulfill that. I mean, are you foolish enough to think that you've begun by the Spirit? By the way, the Bible says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it. God does not fail. He will finish it till the day of Jesus Christ. But are you so foolish to think that you somehow make yourself more spiritual by something you do? Our Baptist churches are invaded with this legalism today. People think they're going to show their spirituality by something they wear or do not wear. I've been around them, rubbed elbows with them, drives me crazy. I hope the Lord takes that stupid stuff out of our churches. Do you really think that makes you more spiritual? By something you wear or do not wear. Or by something you do or do not do. You need the Holy Spirit of God. Now let me throw a wrench in the gear works. In John 14, I've done messed all this up. I don't know why I even had all these bullet points. I forgot about them. In John 14, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say, around verse 12, I think it is an astounding statement. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these, because I go unto my Father. Doesn't that go along with what he said in the 16th chapter? It's expedient. It's your advantage that I go away. Now, let me tell you what he did not mean by that. He did not mean we do greater miracles. Listen to me. Are you so foolish to think that you're going to do greater miracles than the Son of God himself? I always wonder why the Pentecostals have handicapped parking spots at their churches. Kill them. We go nuts with this thing. Are you foolish enough? So he's not talking about the miracle of healing or raising the dead and all that. I tell you what he's talking about, folks. We've got something greater today because the Holy Spirit was in us. Wherever we are, there's the power of Christ. Because he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. He has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what the Apostle Paul said. And what does that mean? The greater work is we have the ability to preach the Word of God on the people. And the Holy Spirit takes that in his power and radically changes lives. Salvation is the most glorious thing on this earth. But you need the Holy Spirit of God. I've messed it up, but let me read my text. We're going to be in John 14 this morning. I'll hurry to a close here. In John chapter 14, Jesus said this, and I'll finish this up tonight. You come back and be well. I'm going to give you a few things quickly. It's already 5 after 12.
And I will pray the Father, verse 16, and He'll give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. That's a great promise, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to go into the context of that so much this morning. I'll do that tonight, just to introduce the second part of this tonight. But I want to talk about, from this passage, who the Holy Spirit is. Now, I could go into a long drawn. I don't want this to be a theological lecture. I'm trying not to do that. But this is the hardest part of my job for the rest of the year. Most of the rest of the year, we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does. I love talking about what the Holy Spirit does. But do you really understand who the Holy Spirit is? And by the way, it's not what the Holy Spirit is. It's who the Holy Spirit is. Now, the reason this is so hard, because, as I said, the rest of you are going to be talking about what He does. Today, I want to talk about who He is. But you can't talk about who He is so much except by explaining what He does. So I'm trying not to get them all mixed up. So I narrowed it down to three things. I want to talk this morning very quickly about the promise of the Spirit. Tonight, I'll talk about the personality of the Spirit and the purpose of the Spirit. Those three simple things. In the first place, notice the promise of the Spirit. Here's what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter. Now, what a glorious, glorious, glorious promise, folks, that is. And I want you to understand, the Holy Spirit, folks, is not a New Testament phenomenon. The Holy Spirit is eternal God. He is just as much God as the Father is God and the Son is God. You say, explain that to me. I cannot. It warps my mind. But I know it to be true. Now, the first part of this, understand, He foretold in the Old Testament. Now, what I mean by that, He has always been here. Eternal. By the way, I said it wasn't going to be a boring theological lecture. But you understand that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He did not become the Son of God through His incarnation. He has always been the Son of God. Well, same thing with the Holy Spirit. He has always been God. Now, in the beginning, it says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And it says this. And the Spirit of God moved. He's always been here. He is the eternal God. Now, I got a couple scriptures up there, but I'll read one to you very quickly since I didn't put it on the screen. If you want to turn over there, maybe it'll wake you up. You'll have to flip your Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 36, I thought about this. Here's what they said in the Old Testament. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, specifically, I'm talking about the nation of Israel. I understand that. Well, listen to me. One day, all Israel shall be saved. Romans chapter number 11. But He's talking about this blessed truth, folks, of the Holy Spirit coming in a very special way. Zechariah, this is the word of the Lord, was unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. So, He was foretold in the Old Testament, but listen, it was fulfilled in the New Testament. Now, that sounds like such a simple statement, but you've got to understand, folks, everything that has been foretold will be or has been fulfilled. One of those two. What has not yet been fulfilled will be. But everything He foretold will be fulfilled. I gave you all those scriptures. I'm not going to take time because I'm already getting long-winded. Where it talks about the ministry. I'll read the first one. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and in Thee I am well pleased. That's the Holy Spirit. You have God the Son, you have God the Father, you have God the Holy Spirit. There is a triunity in the Godhead.
I'll give you the last one, Acts chapter 4. Being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, you have heard of me. More about that later on. The point is, folks, the Holy Spirit has been promised. Now, again, I'm doing my best here not to go into just cold, hard facts. Because cold, hard facts can be dry. They can be boring to many people. I'm just trying to make you realize the Holy Spirit is alive. And if you're saved, He lives in you. Lives in you. Now, I got to hurry to a close. I'll finish up tonight. Let me give you what I would call some action steps. Just throughout this time, I'll remind you of these. Number one, folks, follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, you understand that leadership is easy to ignore many times. The Holy Spirit, sometimes it's just a nudge. Sometimes it's just a gentle reminder. I remember even before I was saved. And the Holy Spirit would prick my conscience when I'd hear Alton Richardson preach. Or I heard Harry Bomber preach and Bob Patton preach and men like that. And the Holy Spirit so gently and patiently drew me. You follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Number two, live your life in light of the fact, folks, the Holy Spirit is actually living in your body. Now, that's just astounding. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that we are the temple of the living God. You ought to keep that in mind. You ought to live like it. That ought to convict you. You ought to live like it. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Then the last thing, folks, for heaven's sake, do not grieve, do not quench the Holy Spirit of God here at Faith Baptist Church. You ever ask yourself, am I one of the reasons that we don't see the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit of God at Faith Baptist Church? Is my life quenching and grieving? May we never get so cold. Verse I preached from some time back. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. The mountains may flow down with thy presence. I went longer than I want to. But I want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of Him. If you're saved, you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to have. That's it. He dwells in you. The real question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? That's what it means to be filled. If you're lost, you're in a dangerous, dangerous spot. I'm telling you, you better listen. When the Word of God is preached, I remember how it was. And you have that prick in your conscience, you better listen. You better listen to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Repent. Believe the gospel. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down. That's what we need. I wonder if we would know the difference here at Faith Baptist Church, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from us, would we go right on like everything was fine? I wonder sometimes if some of you could stand it if the Holy Spirit really came down and filled this place. Let's stand.